right to voice our opinion and matters. We can change a lot with our vote if it's counted. It'll give us a chance to voice our opinion and make things happen ourselves.
That was Joshua Caven. He's 23 and from the South Shore neighborhood. I talked to him right after he had just voted for the first time in a political election. He's also currently incarcerated, and the place that he cast his first vote was none other than Cook County Jail. On a bright morning in March, 2 weeks before the official primary date in Illinois, Cook County Jail became the first jail in the country to become a place where incarcerated people could physically cast a ballot. At Division 11, the medium security facility on the sprawling campus of jailhouses located in North Lawndale.
There will be more people who will have access to the ballot, and anytime that happens, that's a good thing.
That was Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. As state representative, she sponsored the legislation. She says both her and Governor Pritzker are doing everything they can to make sure people can exercise their right to vote.
You know, people have the right to vote. This is the 55th anniversary of the March on Selma, where people died pushing to make sure people had the right to vote. And so I want to do everything that I can to make sure that people have that access and can exercise that right.
There tends to be a lot of confusion surrounding voting rights for incarcerated or formerly incarcerated people. The laws are fairly convoluted and vary state by state. Illinois is one of just 16 states where people lose their voting rights only while they're in prison. In August, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a law mandating that county jails in Illinois ensure pretrial detainees can vote during elections and that people leaving jails and prisons in Illinois receive voter registration information and learn about their voting rights being restored. The push for legislation came from Chicago Votes, a local grassroots organization that works to enfranchise the vote for all. The group started registering people in Cook County Jail to vote back in 2017. To date, they've registered over 5,000 incarcerated people. But Executive Director Stevie Vias said it wasn't long after they started registering voters that they realized they could be doing even more.
We're really excited today. This has been a pretty long journey. We started registering guys and people in the jail, and they started asking us how they were going to vote. We thought that was a really good question. They realized that in order for us to turn this jail into a polling location, we would have to pass a bill that made it so.
After months of advocacy, a bill was vetoed by then-Governor Bruce Rauner. But after more campaigning and the election of a new governor, their vision was finally codified into law.
We're starting from the ground up when it comes to the downstate jails, so I'm hopeful that they would follow the law, especially a jail. That's really important for them to follow the actual laws. And if not, then they'll be held accountable through the FOIA requests, and it's really important that they get it together, especially for November, if there are any issues.
I spoke with Sean Allen. He was the first person that day to fill out a ballot. He even held Reverend Jesse Jackson's hand while the two walked up to the voting booth.
You know, everybody has a voice.
Allen started an online marketing firm in 2015, but he's been in Cook County since July 2018.
Yeah, almost 2 years now. It definitely does give you at least some type of empowerment or some type of pride, because being in here, a lot of our rights or just day-to-day things that normal people can do, we can't do. So, you know, being able to vote and knowing that a lot of things we vote on affect us personally, yeah, it definitely feels good to know that you have some type of voice in what affects you. Like I say, because a lot of times we don't have a voice in the things that directly affect us being here. I take it all in. I soak it all up, because I feel like by doing these interviews and getting these pictures, it puts the spotlight on the county, Tom Dart, the lieutenant governor, everybody that, you know, has a say-so in what's going on here, because now the public gets to see what's going on. And I feel like a lot of times the public does need to see what's going on for people to speak out or speak up.
In 1974, the Supreme Court case O'Brien versus Skinner ruled that pretrial detainees have a fundamental right to vote. However, often barriers like lack of access to absentee ballots misinformation, and misunderstanding of their rights keep those in jail during elections from voting. Even though there were cameras rolling and speeches made, the event was not just a performance. It was very much a real showing of democracy in action. Three election judges were hard at work making sure that all the proper documentation was provided for each voter. Inmates don't have their driver's licenses on them while in jail, so instead, the jail worked with the Board of Elections to make sure that they could use their booking card and detainee ID instead. Most of the guys got checked in without a hitch, but there was some confusion when they had to wait for a set of the detainee IDs to be delivered. There were also some discrepancies between the guys that had pre-registered and those that had not. Additionally, detainees were voting in the jurisdiction for their residence outside of the jail, meaning the election judges needed to sort out who would be voting in the city of Chicago and who would be voting in Cook County. There were different stations for each.
So whenever they're voting for the first time, that's what we need is the fallback for the ID.
Yes.
If they're already registered, it's easy peasy.
Lance, this gentleman's ready to go.
The guy trying to find the proper documentation for one of the men trying to vote, that's Sheriff Tom Dart.
We have him. And they're right, like, in another room. They'll be here in a minute.
Dart has been sheriff of Cook County Jail since 2006 and has placed an emphasis on providing programs centered on civics for the thousands of inmates under his watch.
We put such a huge emphasis on the educational component here. These gentlemen are going to be able to tell more about candidates, positions, what the offices are than a lot of people on the street will.
One of the reasons he worked with Chicago Votes to get the law implemented was because coordinating absentee voting for so many people was somewhat of a logistical nightmare for the sheriff and meant that people who became incarcerated close to election day might not have the time to receive and fill out an absentee ballot.
That was always the difficulty, to be honest with you, with the absentee voting that we've done forever, is that people are coming and going and moving, and it's just so fluid. But now it's more of a, you know, set location, set time.
Although there are a handful of detainees who have been in custody for years waiting for their trial, the bulk of incarcerated folks are in and out within a few days or weeks.
What we would do is we'd have groups that would come, go on the living units, and just ask anybody, do you want to register to vote absentee? And so that was once again catch as catch can, because they can go in a living unit and half the guys might be gone by the time the election comes. And it was just very confusing, because if you think about it, absentee voting, you need to be in a place for a bit for it to really. But guy sitting there thinking he's going to be getting out in 30 days, why would I get absentee ballot? I'm going to be out. I don't need to do it. It was a good effort, but it was not as efficient as this.
Even though Dart himself advocated on behalf of this bill, he didn't find much support for it among sheriffs throughout the state. This, he said, was a disappointment.
We have a tendency here to sort of be out in front of everybody else. There's a lot of pushback from the other sheriffs. It was ignorance. You know, can I come up with a lie for you and say, well, logistically, it's very difficult to understand to try and do this. We have all these. It's a lie. I can do it. I mean, who else can't do it? I mean, please, give me a break. I can pull it off, and you can't. You have a jail of 25 people, and you can't figure out how to get a hold of your clerk and find 2 days to register and get 25 people to vote? Well, I think you probably need to resign.
Standing off to the side of the room was Correctional Officer Ronald Ruffin. He's worked at the county jail for nearly 3 decades. After getting the okay from one of his superiors, I got a chance to speak with him about what he thought about the day's events.
I think it's a wonderful opportunity to stop recidivism and empower them and to give them the opportunity to go back out into the community and do well. I think it's going to give them more willpower to do that.
Although there was a general sense that the advent of voting in Cook County Jail was pretty momentous, not everyone at the jail that day was so convinced that its administration or even lawmakers should be praised for it. I spoke with Chanel Guy while she waited for her visit with her 25-year-old son, who had been in Cook County for 2 months.
Cook County is not allowing something. It is finally rights being given to African-Americans, black-skinned people, finally. Because just because you're arrested and charged for something and don't have the money to make bail, you shouldn't be taken away from your right to vote, to speak, to have proper care or anything. And that's what they're doing. So for them, I'm not going to give them a pat on the back for this. No, this is something that should have been done years and decades ago.
The point Guy makes about there being so many people of color incarcerated, that's something the lieutenant governor agrees with. Cook County Jail has a population in confinement that is nearly 75% Black, making the law all the more imperative for Stratton.
We see a disproportionality of Black and brown men being incarcerated in our country, not just in the state of Illinois. And so the ability to bring the ballot to our jails where we see disproportionate Black and brown men being incarcerated, this again is a way to combat the disenfranchisement, especially in a culture of voter suppression that we see.
Gregory White has been in Cook County since the end of January. He was eager to speak with me about his feelings on voting that day.
I believe that it does give me a sense of freedom, you know what I mean? And that right there, you know, it definitely gives me some sense of freedom, you know, because that's my right, you know? It's my right to vote, you know what I mean? And just because I'm incarcerated don't mean I should, you know, that I shouldn't have rights, you know what I mean? I'm a citizen of this country.